Hey everyone, welcome to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne, and as always, I'm so grateful that you're taking the time to join with us to strengthen these loving ideas in our minds. Before we dive into our meditation, I have a few quick announcements, and I feel like I had two, and I can only remember one, so maybe the second one will come back, maybe it won't. My main announcement is that tomorrow, my friends over at the Circle of Atonement, Emily Bennington and Robert Perry, are doing a webinar on A Course in Miracles and the New Year. And it's a free webinar. I did send out an email blast about it this morning. So if you did not get it, check your inbox or just email me and I can send you the link to sign up. In addition, on that webinar, they'll be making, like at the end of the webinar, they'll be making an announcement about Course Companions, which is their membership site that I've actually been a paying member of for 2 years now, where it's amazing the support that you get when you're studying in Course Companions, because they give you like reading schedules and you have weekly study group calls and the commentaries. That's my favorite part, are the daily commentaries that are mailed to your inbox. So anyway, they'll be telling you about that and telling you about bonuses. So my announcement with that announcement is that I would promote their program. I have before, no matter what, but I, this year, am an affiliate of the program and I'm offering a bonus. So if you choose to sign up for Course Companions for a year, my bonus is that you would get access to my new forthcoming From Anxiety to Love masterclass, which will be launching this spring. So I'm just putting that bug in your ear because I'll probably send out another email about that maybe Tuesday morning. So if that's interest, if that piques your interest, keep an eye out for that. And again, if you missed the email to sign up for the webinar, just feel free to email me and I can get it to you right away. I've registered already. It's going to be great. And I don't remember what my second announcement was, but oh well. Let's join in and come together in silence. Just taking a nice deep breath in and out. And turning your attention from the external world to the internal. In our reading tonight, we will read a sentence that says, "The changelessness of heaven is in you, so deep within that nothing in this world but passes by unnoticed and unseen." That changelessness of heaven is deep within you, literally right now. And connecting with our willingness to go there, connecting with our willingness to be guided by Holy Spirit, to remember that changelessness of heaven that is deep within us. Let's connect with our willingness to loose the world from all we thought it was. Connecting with our willingness to experience miracles, to perform miracles in expressing love, and just connecting with our willingness overall, our willingness to heal, and offering this willingness to Holy Spirit. And this holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. And we gladly place Holy Spirit in charge tonight by our request. And taking a nice, mindful, deep breath in and out. And coming together to our perception of right here, right now. Welcome, everyone. I'm excited about our reading tonight. We are reading a section in all of the editions. The subheadings match. They are the changeless dwelling place. And we will really be getting that strong sense of just how the Course is so different from other spiritual pathways, because it's not just leading us to awaken in isolation. It's leading us to awaken through our relationships, through our brother, through that brother that might push our buttons the most. So if you have the CE edition, which is the complete and annotated edition by the Circle of Atonement, also known as the Purple Book, go to page 860. Again, the subheading is the Changeless Dwelling Place. If you have the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, which if you're not sure what edition you have, you probably have the Foundation for Inner Peace edition. It's the most widely distributed edition. Go to chapter 29, part 5. It's also called the Changeless Dwelling Place. In the original edition by Course in Miracles Society, which is usually black, it's a black book with white pearls on it, usually, although mine's older, so it looks a little different. That's chapter 29, part 6, the Changeless Dwelling Place. And in the Sparkle edition, it is page 671. So whatever edition you're reading from, please just note I'm reading from the Purple Book and the content looks pretty much the same, but the editing might be a little bit different. I can see, at least for the first several paragraphs, that the paragraph breaks are different. So if you're reading from a different edition, I might pause when I'm at the end of my paragraph, but you might be mid-paragraph. So just note that and you'll know where to pick up when I start my next paragraph. And we'll just do what we usually do. I'll read a paragraph or two at a time, and I'll share some thoughts, and I'll open it up for your shares as well. So let's go ahead and dive in. The Changeless Dwelling Place. There is a place in you where this whole world has been forgotten, where no memory of sin and of illusion lingers still. There is a place in you which time has left, and echoes of eternity are heard. There is a resting place so still, no sound except a hymn to heaven rises up to gladden God the Father and the Son. Where both abide, are they remembered both? And where they are is heaven and is peace. Think not that you can change their dwelling place, for your identity abides in them, and where they are, forever must you be. I feel moved to read the second paragraph as well. The changelessness of heaven is in you, so deep within that nothing in this world but passes by unnoticed and unseen. The still infinity of endless peace surrounds you gently in its soft embrace, so strong and quiet, tranquil in the might of its creator, nothing can intrude upon the sacred Son of God within. Here is the role the Holy Spirit gives to you who wait upon the Son of God and would behold Him waken and be glad. He is a part of you and you of him, because he is his Father's Son, and not for any purpose you may see in him. Nothing is asked of you but to accept the changeless and eternal that abides in him, for your identity is there. I want to read that last sentence one more time with adding in the word your brother. Nothing is asked of you but to accept the changeless and eternal that abides in your brother, for your identity is there. And that's where I will pause. This to me, I'm sorry?
Oh, I came in late, and you said you're reading a lesson?
No, Christine, which edition are you reading from?
The CE.
Okay, go to page 860, and we just read the first two paragraphs of The Changeless Dwelling Place.
Oh, I put myself ahead.
No problem. So this section is just so incredibly beautiful. I mean, just really kind of feel into these words. There's a place in you where this whole world has been forgotten, where no memory of sin and of illusion lingers still. This place in us is where time has left and echoes of eternity are heard. I love this. It says the resting place is so still that there's no sound except that hymn to heaven that rises up to gladden, to make happy God the Father and the Son. And I love in the second paragraph that we read, and I shared this during our opening meditation, the sentence that the changelessness of heaven is in you, so deep that nothing, so deep within you, that nothing in this world but passes by unnoticed and unseen. The still infinity of endless peace surrounds you gently in its soft embrace, so strong and quiet, tranquil in the might of its creator, nothing can intrude upon the sacred Son of God within. So over and over in these two paragraphs, we are told again and again about this stillness, this deep peace where we don't know sin, we don't know time. And there's this hymn, there's this just absolute joyous song of heaven that we are all a part of, that we are all a part of in singing. So I just love how much these paragraphs are emphasizing this peace, this deep peace that abides within every single one of us and the song of heaven as well. And then it goes on to say, and this is super important too, the latter part of the second paragraph, it talks about, okay, I'm looking for the sentence. Okay, the role the Holy Spirit gives to us is for us to see our brother, it's for us to see in our brother that same changelessness and eternal light that abides in him, for our identity is there. So our purpose is to see the truth in our brother, to join with that truth in our brother. And it also says, I wanted to emphasize one other sentence, that your brother is a part of you and you are a part of him because he, your brother, is his father's son, and not for any purpose you may see in him. So how often are we putting a purpose on our brother or on any person in this world, be it judgment, be it a purpose like, you know, we think that they should be acting a certain way toward us or doing something specific for us. This is saying that your brother is part of you, not for any purpose you might see in him. So your brother is your brother regardless of what he or she, as you know, we're using he in a very generic sense, including all of us. It's not about our purpose for our brother, but the fact that our identity is found in our brother. So this is that beginning of this section's really emphasizing this interpersonal piece. I just said enough. Let's hear from you. Anybody have any insights or comments or questions so far? We can keep reading.
Hi, this is Jana.
Hi, Jana.
I got in a little late, but I got here in time for the reading. And I just have to say this, what keeps coming to my mind, and if anyone has experienced this, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. I come from Lake Tahoe area, snow country, deep, deep snow country. And many, many times. I love to go out cross-country skiing or snowshoeing out in the – I would go out my front door, and I'd be in a park-like setting by a lake. And when you read this, it brings tears to my eyes and to my voice, and is going out either in the middle of the night or just before it got dark and it would be snowing. And going out and the snow muffles everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You don't hear sound. You just don't hear the sounds. And there's such a peaceful loveliness. It's just kind of a very magical place where it feels, when at times I would feel like all is right with the world. Nothing can intrude. Everything is just in all its the way it's supposed to be. I'm safe. I'm secure. And I'm just being poured, you know, like the snow is being poured, representing love pouring down. And as you were reading this, it just kept, I kept feeling like I was going to that place again.
Mm-hmm.
Because so much of this, when you read it, when I read it, I'm like, what the hell? What the hell? I have no idea what that would even mean. And then I got this mental picture of that is just a small taste of what this means. And the other thing that I got was, you know, the song. I'm like, the song, what the song? And it occurred to me, I'm fascinated by, if you go on YouTube, vibrations have a, there's a lot of science things on a vibration, like certain vibrations with sand and or water and how it like that's what snowflakes are, is this vibrational pattern. And that's what it felt like to me is, as I understood it, is the sound is that vibrational pattern that puts everything in such a beautiful, intricate, divine design.
Mm. Oh, Jana, that was so beautiful. I resonate with everything. And that word resonate came to mind as you were speaking because I feel like we've all probably heard those moments when sound resonates. It's as if, like, you know, two voices are joined or you're singing along with some kind of sound. And it's as if you like, I don't know what resonance exactly is, but I know that it's like the sound waves are joining and they almost become greater. And that vibration, that pattern that, or whatever it is that gets created is just so, I don't know. It just always moves me. And that's kind of how I picture the Song of Heaven. I am so grateful that you gave us a image with the snow and the snow when it's falling and it being so quiet outside, because I've been in the snow too and can completely relate to your example. And what you said, that when we have those moments of that feeling that everything's right with the world, or we feel love, or we feel so much peace, whether it's in the snow when it's coming down, or if we're on the beach, or in my husband's case, you know, he's an artist. And when we first were together and he was like, well, how can, you know, this painting not be real? Like, I love, you know, like this, he just finds so much beauty in art. And that's a small taste of what all of this means. You just said it. And it's as if those forms are where the veil becomes thinner for each of us, because, you know, somebody might hate the snow, but love, you know, something else. So we all have sort of our places where the veil becomes thinner. But when we have those experiences that you just so beautifully described, it is exactly that, a small taste of what all this means. So thank you for that, Jana. And I agree with you. This moves me to tears as well. This is an absolutely, absolutely beautiful section. Thank you. Anybody else want to share before we keep reading? Okay, let's keep going. So in the CEM on the third paragraph now. The peace in you can but be found in him. And every thought of love you offer him but brings you nearer to your awakening to peace eternal and to endless joy. I want to read that one more time and just again try to let the feeling, like the meaning of these words, really sink in. The peace in you can but be found in him. And every thought of love you offer him but brings you nearer to your awakening to peace eternal and to endless joy. The sacred Son of God is like yourself, the mirror of his Father's love for you, the soft reminder of his Father's love by which he was created and which still abides in him as it abides in you. Be very still and hear God's voice in him. And let it tell you what his function is. He was created that you might be whole, for only the complete can be a part of God's completion, which created you. The sentence, be very still and hear God's voice in him. There's a footnote here referencing one of the Psalms, and it says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. And then Robert Perry's comment to that biblical quote is that in the above reference, we hear God's voice in our brother. So again, we're not just hearing it in ourselves alone. We are hearing it in our brother. The peace in you can but be found in him. So again, this is where, like, I feel like the ego can have a nice little hissy fit about this teaching, because we certainly all have those relationships in our lives that challenge us, maybe those things that have happened that feel unforgivable, and yet the Course is saying so clearly about seeing the truth in your brother. And where is the... I guess it's just the sentence again that I wanted to highlight that I've already read. Be very still and hear God's voice in him and let it tell you what his function is. So regardless of what a brother is saying with their words and regardless of what actions they're doing with their body, can we be willing to become very still and be willing to hear God's voice in him and let it tell us what our brother's function is? So it really is another way of saying, like, seeing the light in the other person, seeing the truth, the wholeness and the innocence in the other person. And they might be completely denying that innocence, denying that spark of good, denying that light within them, but it is there. And by your willingness to witness to it, it changes something in them. I believe that with my whole heart. Comments or questions, anything else coming up for anyone so far? And you know what, I feel moved to just emphasize again the second sentence in this paragraph we just read. It said, and every thought of love you offer him but brings you nearer to your awakening to peace eternal and to endless joy. So every thought of love, again, this is where, thinking about miracles as expressions of love. They're shifts in perception, yes, but they are very much also expressions of love. So every thought of love, every expression of love you offer your brother brings you nearer to your awakening to peace eternal and to endless joy. How beautiful is that? And it's our job to find the block to where we're not willing to do that, right? So I can think of like specific examples where maybe it was somebody in my family and I felt like I should call them because I hadn't talked to them in a while, but I had this resistance because I was, you know, whatever, holding onto a grudge or feeling annoyed. And the block to that extending love, even if I had the impulse to pick up the phone and call, but then like my head might talk myself out of it, that impulse to reach out to extend love is that miracle impulse. And so we have to find the blocks that we've built against that and give those to the Holy Spirit. Comments or questions?
Joyce.
Hi, Joyce.
Hi. Thank you. As you were sharing, it made me realize I have lived long enough to see exactly what you're saying. I'm retired. I'm 73. I've been studying all my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see how all of these things, all the difficulties that I thought I had, I can see how it was all working to make me who I am today. And I started seeing these things clearly about a year or so ago. So it didn't just happen just because I got older.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've had to work at this. I've had to earn this. It's not like it just came to me one day.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to take up any more time, but it's amazing how when it's time for your next step, something happens and you can't put your finger on it. And then you're there at your next step. It is so amazing. It's so amazing. And I look at all these people who has written all these books, and their lives were not just perfect. It wasn't. It was a, you know, they had hard lives. And, but what you're saying is so wonderful, and I am so glad that I found this group. And thank you so much.
Oh, Joyce, I'm so happy you're here, and I am just so touched by what you just shared. And you, I heard Paula giggle in the background when you were saying, because we can all relate to what you just said, that when it's time for your next step, I love how you said this, something happens, you can't always put your finger on it, but then suddenly you're there, and it's almost like you can't even remember, maybe you can remember in some ways how you were, but you're there. Like, and I so relate to what you just said, and that is the beauty of this, that when it's time, you know, that time comes with our willingness, you know, with our, I mean, you said you've been working at this. I agree with you wholeheartedly that this just doesn't, you know, magically happen. We work at this. We actively look for those blocks to love, and we become willing, and we hand those over, and maybe depending on the pathway that we come from, maybe the words are a little bit different. You know, certainly Helen and Bill, when they were first joining together in that famous line, there must be a better way, they weren't like, hey, Holy Spirit, help us. Like, they didn't call upon the Holy Spirit then, but they were willing. It was time. They were ready for something different. They were ready for growth. And then, you know, look what happened. So thank you so much for sharing that and saying that. Just, I really, really relate. And I know others did on the call because I heard some giggles. thank you, Joyce.
Oh, you're so welcome. I'm going to go back on mute.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. And Paula, did you have anything you want to add? Because I think I heard your giggle.
Yeah. She, what she was saying, well, I'm retired also. And now I have more time to really, I'm just finding that when I consciously start the day, I've been writing a lot every morning and setting these intentions to step back and let him lead the way. And then, you know, you go about your day, and I've been noticing how periodically I am stepping back, you know, and I'm listening more to what my brother has to say rather than automatically just jumping in. And But it's like a conscious decision now to do that. And I just think that's so interesting because, you know, when you're working and you really don't have time to be so conscious, you really need the Holy Spirit in that situation. In those situations, well, you need him anyway. So that's enough.
Of course.
Me. Thank you.
Thank you, Paula. I love how you just said, you know, that it's more of a conscious, like, stopping and listening versus jumping in, because that fits with, I mean, there's, I can't just pick out one favorite sentence in our reading so far, but I love the sentence where it says, be very still and hear God's voice in him and let it tell you what your brother's function is. I just love that. I love that because when we're listening, when we're very still and hearing God's voice in him, we're listening deeper than the words. You know, we are listening at a level that's deeper than, again, whatever words are coming out of our brother's mouth. It's at a much deeper level. It's at a heart level that we're listening. And that, to me, is just miracles at work. It's being a miracle worker. It's listening in that deep way. So I like how you said that. Thank you, Paula.
Corinne, can I ask you a quick question? It's Margaret.
Absolutely. Hi, Margaret.
In your version, does it actually say brother? Because in mine, it doesn't say that.
No, it says, okay. It doesn't say your brother. It says his. I was just making it clear that it's talking about our brother. So thank you.
How would you figure out that that's, like, I guess for me, if I read this without you guys, I would think that we were talking about Jesus or the Holy Spirit and not your brother.
So, great question. Now, most of the time, this comes with experience because the course often talks about different levels and it's not immediately apparent which level it's talking about until you kind of get used to how it sort of, like, it's this holographic understanding that starts to happen where you start to, like, you get one thing, and then the next time you read that sentence you just read, it's like you get it on a whole different level. So that's happening. But also, when you see a lowercase, I mean, that sort of general rule that doesn't always apply, but probably more often than not, is that when you see a lowercase h, like for he, that's possibly talking about your brother. You see the capital H, like his. When you see the capitalization, that's talking about the formless level. So that's much more likely talking about the Holy Spirit or talking about our brother in that formless level realm. So that's really the easiest way to tell is the lowercase versus uppercase. So keep that in mind. But I've noticed at times that doesn't always hold true. But that's, like, I'd say that that's a pretty, you know, keep that capitalization thing in mind, and that it will probably become clear.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, lovely. Anybody else before we keep reading?
This is Jan again. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Did I hear Carla and then Jana? Was that you, Carla?
Yeah. Hey there.
Carla.
Hey.
Welcome.
It's been wonderful. Thank you so much, Lorraine. Everyone else, I just wanted to know my usual question.
Where are we reading from? which book do you have? Remind me. Do you have the CE?
The FIP.
The FIP. Okay. I'm going to need some help from anybody on the call who is reading from the FIP because the paragraph breaks are different.
It's page 614.
Page 614. It's chapter 29, part.
Paragraph 4, almost on paragraph
page
5.
Page 613, I think.
Oh, 613 and chapter 29.
It depends which edition of FIP you have. So it's chapter 29, part 5.
Okay.
And then I'm hearing, I think I was hearing Jana say paragraph, well, almost to paragraph 5.
Okay, good.
Oh, it matters what edition. I have FIT, but I don't know what edition.
Yeah, but that's why I don't usually read the page numbers.
Okay.
I know with the
okay.
chapter and the subheading.
Hi, Corinne. Sorry I was late.
No problem.
I don't know if we're supposed to introduce ourselves when we're late or just I didn't want to interrupt, so I was just listening.
You can just hop right in. So this
okay.
This is Linda, right?
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. Hi, Linda. Glad you're here.
Hi.
Beautiful. Anybody else have anything to share or ask before? For those of you who are looking for where we're reading, the sentence I'm going to pick up with in just a moment is, there is no gift the Father asks of you, ... There is no gift the Father asks of you. In the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, I see it to be paragraph number 5.
So, Corinne, this is Jana.
Hi, Jana.
And I just have to share one thing that I just had a big aha.
Beautiful.
Big for me. And I'm sorry, I've been out all day and I have 2 puppies that are rambunctious. So if you hear them in the background, I apologize. They're
just participating. It's all good.
You can't take the puppy out of the puppy. I don't know how to do that. So they might be contributing. Yes, exactly. Okay, so when the be very still and hear God's voice in him and let it tell you what his function is. When you were reading that, Corinne, I just got this. I've been told that, like with pianos or guitars, string instruments, or something that has a string like a piano, if you hit one note, it causes the other piano or the other guitar, that same note, to start vibrating.
Yes, I've witnessed that.
And so that came to my mind that for some reason frequency is just really coming back to me tonight, that frequency, that if you hit a certain frequency, even the very cells of our body, everything shifts.
Mm-hmm.
And Joyce, I loved what you said about, I mean, you said it much more eloquently than my memory is going to remember, but where you can just make that shift and you don't even know how you got there. And I have what came to me, the aha, was when we have that frequency of love in us, it's like
mm-hmm.
a certain note. And when we come up with our breath, everyone has it. Everyone has that. It's a God frequency in us. And when we are allowing the Holy Spirit to let that frequency vibrate, when we come up to our brother, it automatically vibrates in him.
Jana, when you first started saying that about the guitar, I felt like I knew where you were going, and I like, if you could have seen me, I started like jumping up and down in my chair. Like, that's
we
awesome.
Were on the same frequency vibration.
I love that. That's a perfect example of this. That's perfect. It's just, you know, when we have those shifts that bring us into this miracle working loving mind state, we are vibrating, our frequency is at a certain level that then touches those around us who are willing to tune in to that frequency. And even if they're not tuned into it, they still have it. Like you said, we all have that God frequency. They're still picking it up on some level. So,
Corinne, wouldn't that explain how when we call upon the Holy Spirit in certain situations that are not going so well, all of a sudden everything sort of shifts
because
the other
shifted.
Person's
yeah.
getting it too. That makes
yeah.
so much sense.
Right? Wow.
That really explains, because I mean, I've been in situations, especially when I was working, where, you know, it was horrible and I would get the Holy Spirit in on it and everything would just automatically shift and
mm-hmm.
everything would get better. And that, so it's a frequency within us and within them. That
it's the God frequency, as Jana just said.
Wow,
Jana,
that
I feel
is
like,
wonderful.
Right? I feel like that just like created like a shockwave of love
throughout yeah.
all of us and out into the world. That's awesome. I'm still like, if you could see me, I'm like still bouncing up and down in my chair. I'm so excited.
Just wanted to share some, this is Margaret again, like on what you guys said, because it's really easy to see, like it's not as easy, I guess, to see kind of the love vibration back maybe in an adult. I mean, I think it is sometimes, but, you know, not always. But I have young children, and, you know, if one of the kids is hitting or in a bad place, doing something, you know, quote, bad or whatever, and you respond, you know, out of like, don't do that, or, you know, not out of a place of love, out of a place of reaction, you'll get more of that back, you know, more of that defense back. But if you respond, you know, with love, you can almost instantly bring the child back to him or herself, to a place of love. And
yeah.
So it's almost, you know, like an opportunity for endless miracle moments, you know. Certainly difficult to do all the time, but it's, I don't know, just kind of made me think of what you guys were talking about.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That's a perfect, perfect example, Margaret. Thank you so much
yeah.
for that.
For
awesome.
Sure.
Did I hear Beth before or not? Beth, I'm not sure. If you did want to say something, I just wanted to give you a chance.
Well, it was just the same mind be very still and hear God's voice in him. And just it just also brought me back to how when we listen, you know, as Paula was saying, when we actually listen to someone else, they're reflecting back to us what we need to hear in ourselves, what we need to heal in ourselves, and what we need to hear in ourselves. And I think sometimes when we step back, like Paula said, and just take that time and be conscious and be in our hearts, that we can not only listen to them and give compassion to them and you know, give them what they need, but it also, you know, gives us a chance to see it in ourselves.
100%. Beautiful. Thank you so much. That was well said. I feel like we're vibrating at a very high frequency today. I feel like we're all getting such powerful downloads. I am just so grateful. Wow. Thank you, Beth. Thank you, Margaret. Thank you, everybody. Jana, Paula, Joyce, everyone. Let's do some more reading because I do want to finish this section tonight. So I'm going to read another paragraph or two. Actually, we have four paragraphs left. This is perfect. I think I'll read two paragraphs right now. There is no gift the Father asks of you, but that you see in all creation, but the shining glory of his gift to you. Behold his Son, his perfect gift, in whom his Father shines forever, and to whom is all creation given as his own. Because he has it, is it given you? And where it lies in him, behold your peace. The quiet that surrounds you dwells in him. And from this quiet come the happy dreams in which your hands are joined in innocence. These are not hands that grasp in dreams of pain. They hold no sword, for they have left their hold on every vain illusion of the world. And being empty, they receive instead a brother's hand in which completeness lay. I know I said I was going to read two paragraphs, but I have to just pause here for a moment. I have a wow written next to this last sentence that we just read. So as we join with the truth in our brother, as we are willing to listen deeply, to listen deeper than the words, to join at that God frequency. I love that so much. That quiet, that stillness that we tap into, that's both within us and in our brother, that calls forth
happy dreams. So no longer, you know, the dreams of, I mean, happy dreams are still dreams, but they're no longer the fearful dreams of the ego. The happy dreams become called forth. I love how it says this, in which your hands are joined in innocence. They are not hands that grasp in dreams of pain. They hold no sword. It says, and being empty. So your hands are empty without that sword, without that attack. They, your hands, receive instead a brother's hand in which completeness lay. That is stunningly beautiful. All right, I'm going to keep reading. If you but knew the glorious goal that lies beyond forgiveness, you would not keep hold on any thought, however light the touch of evil on it may appear to be. For you would understand how great the cost of holding anything God did not give in minds that can direct the hand to bless and lead God's son unto his father's house. Would you not want to be a friend to him, created by his father as his home? If God esteems him worthy of himself, would you attack him with the hands of hate? Who would lay bloody hands on heaven itself and hope to find its peace? Your brother thinks he holds the hand of death. Believe him not. But learn instead how blessed are you who can release him just by offering him yours. In other words, just by offering him your hand, your blessing, your love, your willingness to extend a miracle. Ah, isn't this so beautiful? So if we knew, first of all, it's talking about the glorious goal that lies beyond forgiveness. We talk about forgiveness so much, as I always like to say, it's something forgiving to the Holy Spirit. We talk about this goal, I'm sorry, we talk about forgiveness, but this is talking about the glorious goal beyond forgiveness. And if we knew that goal, we would not want to harbor a judgment thought, an attack thought, however little that attack or that judgment might appear to be. We wouldn't want to hold on to any of those thoughts. We'd immediately just want to drop them and release them and give them to the Holy Spirit. Because we would, if we understood the goal beyond forgiveness, we would also understand how great it is when we hold anything that God did not give us in our minds. When we hold, again, any fear, any judgment, any attack, those are those blocks to those natural miracle impulses, those extensions of love that want to come through us. So if God esteems our brother worthy of himself, would we really want to attack our brother with the hands of hate? So in other words, fill in, think of somebody who pushes your buttons, who triggers you. Maybe it's a politician. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's somebody you work with. If God esteems that person worthy of God himself, what makes you think that you'd want to attack him with the hands of hate? We're just then putting up that block and seeing and strengthening a gap between us that's not really there. We're strengthening an illusion that's not really there. We're stepping out of the God frequency into the really low frequency of the ego. if we can even say that if everything vibrates, you know, and vibrating on up high, you know, the ego is going to be way down on the other end of the spectrum. So I just think it's so beautiful how this ends with, if your brother thinks he holds the hand of death, believe him not. Learn instead how blessed are you who can release him just by offering him yours. So may we extend those hands, that even if it's not our actual hand, just that loving thought, that willingness to see the love and the light and the truth in our brother and to join our brother there. Oh my goodness, I love this so much. And you know what? If it's okay, I'm going to read the next two paragraphs just so we finish out this section, and then
because I just glanced at the time and this hour has just flown by. We'll finish up this section, and then if anybody has anything to add, I'll pause after these final two paragraphs. A dream is given you in which he is your savior, not your enemy in hate. So in other words, there's an alternative dream in which our brother is our savior rather than our enemy. I'll read that one more time. A dream is given you in which he is your savior, not your enemy in hate. A dream is given you in which you have forgiven him for all his dreams of death. A dream of hope you share with him instead of dreaming evil, separate dreams of hate. Why does it seem so hard to share this dream? So in other words, I just want to pause here. Why does it seem so hard to share the dream, the happy dreams, the dreams of hope, the dreams of love with our brothers, especially the ones who might trigger us the most? Why does it seem so hard to share this dream? Because unless the Holy Spirit gives the dream its function, it was made for hate and will continue in death's services. Each form it takes in some way calls for death. And those who serve the Lord of death have come to worship in a separated world, each with his tiny spear and rusted sword to keep his ancient promises to die. Such is the core of fear in every dream that has been kept apart from use by him who sees a different function for the dream. I want to read that sentence one more time. Such is the core of fear in every dream that has been kept apart from use by him who sees a different function for a dream. When dreams are shared, they lose the function of attack and separation, even though it was for this that every dream was made. Yet nothing in the world of dreams remains without the hope of change and betterment. For here is not where changelessness is found. Let us be glad indeed that this is so, and seek not the eternal in this world. Forgiving dreams are means to step aside from dreaming of a world outside yourself, and they lead finally beyond all dreams unto the peace of everlasting life. Goosebumps. Oh.
Corinne.
Yes.
One, this sentence. Oh, where did it go? Holy Spirit. Okay. Because unless the Holy Spirit gives the dream its function, it was made for hate and will continue to death's service. It's our responsibility. I'm reading this as it's our responsibility to allow the Holy Spirit to do that.
Yes.
For us.
To hand over the dreams that we've made, that we've been dreaming separately, which are all dreams are born out of hate, born out of separation. It's our dream to it's our responsibility to repurpose everything that we've made, including our dreams, including everything. We repurpose it. We give it to Holy Spirit. And that's how we are led into forgiving dreams, happy dreams, and then, as it says, beyond all dreams unto the peace of everlasting life.
You know,
so I'm right there with you, Paula.
There's a real simplicity here because
uh-huh.
It's always just a choice away.
Mm-hmm.
In these situations that we go into that drive us insane, there's always that possibility of making the choice to give this to the Holy Spirit. And, my God, every time I do it, things just straighten out. So
yeah. Yeah. And then the times that we don't do it.
They don't.
Can teach us. That's where we learn through contrast. We learn after we've been, you know, banging up against the wall over and over and over. It's like, oh, okay, I'm tired of this now. Wait a second. Oh, right, there's another way. I'm going to ask
for help. Right, I remember. So, you know, we hit that wall over and over until we finally decide we've had enough, and that's when we make that choice again. So
it always comes down to I must have decided wrongly.
Right.
Age 90.
Page 90.
Okay.
Oh, hi, Kitty.
Oh,
Joy.
Hi, Joy.
Hi. I just have one little comment. I think just looking back over my life, I can remember when I was very, very young, I just loved totally. Then you go out into the world and they are teaching different things. They are not teaching love. They are teaching mm-hmm. competition. They mm-hmm. are teaching all kinds of things. So then we have to do what the Course is telling us to do and what God has always told us to do before the Course. You really do have to make that choice that I don't have all the names yet. That she was talking about. We have to make the choice because mm-hmm. the world is teaching us to hate, to judge, to mm-hmm. complain. That's what the world is teaching us. So
mm-hmm.
We have to make choices all through the day.
Yes. Literally, moment to moment. You're
exactly.
absolutely... Yeah, I'm right there with you, Joyce. And that was Paula, I think, who made that point about having to choose. I agree with you completely. Oh, my goodness. This has been such a good call. See what happens when we all come together and this frequency, this vibration, this power surge that happens. I just feel so lifted up, and I'm guessing that you all are feeling it too. So, oh. I'm so
yeah.
grateful. Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Thank
I
you.
Love you all. And that's all for tonight. So we finished our section.
Thank
put
you,
a little
family.
Bookmark in your page, and we'll pick up here next week.
Corinne, have a wonderful
yeah.
week.
Corinne, before
thank
you,
thank you
I'll
Corinne.
See you on the
yeah.
line.
So,
Corinne,
Jana.
Before we say last week, you had said this beautiful forgiveness.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The prayer. Yeah, the prayer.
You only failed my idea of you. I wrote a part of it down. I set you free from the role I assigned you. You
yeah.
were going to, and I haven't checked my email.
You were
going to
see if you could get permission.
On your Facebook.
I did get
yeah.
permission, and I posted it in the From Anxiety to Love group on Facebook. So
is
if you're not. It's not my page. It's not my public page, but it's From Anxiety to Love with Corinne Zupko. If you go to fromanxietytolove.com/group, it will route you to the Facebook group. So I posted it in the group, and if you can't find it or if you want me to email it to you, because it was posted on – I posted on December 8th, so you might have to scroll down a little bit. It is posted there.
So if I go to your website, I didn't quite catch all that. I'm sorry. I go to your website.
You'll get routed to the Facebook group if you go to fromanxietytolove.com/group. It's like a little like shortcut URL that will route you to the Facebook group. So fromanxietytolove.com/group.
Group. Okay. I just
yeah.
love that. I think that needs to be my new Year's mantra.
Yes, me too.
thank you.
It was
you.
So good.
Yeah. No
can
problem.
I just
so again,
ask? Can I just ask? Absolutely. What's the chapter title for next week? Where we'll be starting? What's it called?
In the CE, it's called "Swear Not to Die." In the other books, in the FIP, it's called "Forgiveness and the End of Time."
Okay, thank you.
No problem.
So I can put my bookmark in there. Right, great.
Yeah. Wonderful. Okay, thanks, everybody. I love you all. Good night.
Thank
good
you
night.
So much. It was wonderful.
See you tomorrow.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, we'll listen. We'll hear you tomorrow on the webinar.
I'm not presenting. I'm just attending.
Okay.
But definitely come.
We'll feel you.
Okay, yeah, we'll feel each other. Good night, everyone. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night.